This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Like Stugatz, I too, Peter Burns, have very little talent, but I am here. I have come here, man. Luckily, I've got Katie George rolling with me shotgun today for the next 3 hours. 3 hours of the Dan Levitard Show here on ESPN Radio. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns ESPN. We're all guests of the Dan Levitard Show up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And I'm excited, Katie, because I'm looking up my browser, and I actually did a little show prep today, which is unheard of here for the Levitard Show. But unfortunately, I did it. And I'm going to give you dealer's choice right now, okay? We can start with several different things here on this show. We can start with the New Jersey Nets basically going to have tryouts to get a roster down to Orlando for the bubble. We can start with how bad the bubble food is in actually Orlando, as we saw pictures of that yesterday. We can talk about the tourist that has been stranded in the Manila airport in the Philippines for over 100 days. The new study of what's actually in a hot dog and whether or not you're pro or anti-hot dog. The WWE wrestling match, and now that's the winner is going to be determined eye for an eye, or Jimmy Johnson has been cleared of coronavirus, a NASCAR racer, and he, by the way, he tested positive like last week, and he's already back to racing. Dealer's choice on this historic day on the Dan Levitard Show. Katie George.
I mean, that was a lot to just throw at me right at the top of the show. As much as I want to talk about what's in a hot dog, I don't think I necessarily want to know the findings of that study. Why don't you, let's start with the last that you mentioned. Jimmy Johnson is now tested negative twice, so he's cleared to go after testing positive on Friday.
Again, yes, that is huge news and is bigger than just the world of NASCAR, so we will start there. But for you diehard listeners of the Levitard Show, I'd be remiss if I did not say this. Today is the 10-year anniversary of the moment, the decision, and the moment in which I, Peter Burns, you, Katie George, everybody here working on this show, love Dan Levitard and his show, but it took it to a different level. So what I'm going to do is in 10 minutes from now, we are going to replay the open of July the 9th, okay? July the 9th. It was the day after. Remember, the decision was this day. The decision was July the 8th, 2010. We're going to play the start of the July 9th show from Dan Levitard. And I re-listened to it this morning. And I fought for this, Katie. I fought for it. I'm playing the whole damn thing. Billy wanted to be a ruiner and only play 4 minutes.
But I don't think that's fair to call Billy out.
Billy, did you kind of ruin it? Did I want to play the whole 10 minutes and you're like, I just don't think that's good radio? And then am I going to, like, it'll lie on my shoulders here.
To be fair, the 10 minutes on the Dan Levitard Show that next morning was better than the hour-long program on ESPN with the decision.
That is fair as well, too.
Well, I just sensed that we were headed in the direction where we're going to replay the whole show, and I feel like that wasn't a good idea. So I have to get out on the front and be like, maybe not. Let's settle for 4, and then we can meet somewhere in the middle.
Okay. I hear you. I understand you. I'm making eye contact while we have this. And again, I don't care if I ever get to host this show again, ever in my life. So I'm going to make the creative decision. And when the suits ask me to say, hey, can you and Katie George fill in? Obviously, they want Katie to fill in, not me. But then that you can blame this on me, and that way you'll never have to work with me again. So that coming up, we're going to replay that here in 10 minutes. But Katie, I'm glad you did pick Jimmy Johnson and him testing negative now. Like, I feel like this is a huge thing. I feel like we've had negative headlines on the return of sports. But to me, this gives me a glimpse. This gives me like mini goosebumps in the fact that this ain't the end of the world. Look how NASCAR is dealing with it and how it could relate to Major League Baseball and college football and everything else trying to restart right now.
Well, it's interesting because Jimmy Johnson was the first NASCAR driver to test positive for the virus. So that made headlines. But he tested positive, and the timing of this is interesting to me because he tests positive for the virus last Friday. And he obviously removes himself. He's removed from that Cup Series up in Indianapolis last weekend. Yep. And now he had to provide 2 negative tests before he could be reinstated and race again at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. Well, after testing positive on Friday, he's now tested negative twice, got a negative report back on Monday and a negative test result back on Tuesday. That's a quick turnaround. So right. I don't know if he was on the back end of having the virus at that point, if it was a false positive or what, but to be able to get over the virus in a couple of days, that to me is pretty promising. And now he's going to be able to work a race at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. Like, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal, but the devil lies in the details, right, Katie? Katie George, Peter Burns here in the Dan Le Batard Show. And Katie, you nailed it, because on the surface level, it's like, hey, maybe he was on the back end of it. He really didn't even know he had it. It was asymptomatic. He gets two negative tests. Boom, he's back in it. Now, of course, it is not a team situation, even though he has a team of drivers. But NASCAR has done a really good job of kind of doing the social distancing and making sure everybody wears the mask. So they've been as separated really as well as any of the leagues or professional sports are considering and how they've been doing it. However, it also could be the opposite side of it, too, when you say could have been a false positive, because that, I believe, happened to Cam Champ over in the PGA Tour, where he got a false positive and was not allowed to play in a PGA Tour event. So I think we'll find out. I don't know if we'll find out more information about this, but if at any point, I would imagine college football, the NFL, NBA, Adam Silver right now is going to be looking at this in one way of saying, how do we restart sports safely and make sure the fall and the upcoming events actually take place? I think this could be a huge thing with Jimmy Johnson being able to get back to racing.
Yeah, it could, because it's promising that he got a test result back that he was positive on Friday, and 2 days later he tests on Monday morning and it comes back negative. That's huge. But back to my dealer's choice here, did you say somebody was going to gouge out somebody else's eye? Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct, and it might be Billy, because he's upset that we're going to play the whole 10-minute rant. As I see him, I see you right now. It's like we're on the Zoom meeting, Billy. I can see that you're texting the other guys in here, and you're upset. Like, don't worry, I'm only going to be here one more day. That's fine. I get it.
Okay. I'm texting Bubba saying, hey, I went through, I cleaned up. There's some old station phone numbers in there. The version that you were sent had like a
give it to him. Let's
intro.
Hey, you know what?
Really
play the old station phone numbers and let's blow up their line, and people are wondering why they're getting these phone calls randomly today. We could do that. I'm joking, Billy. I'm joking. But yes, that was the other headline that I'm glad that you picked that is important in the world, because the WWE website has released the article of how they're promoting their next match, Katie George, and now they have extreme rules, okay, that what's going to happen on Monday's episode of Raw, WWE, in fact, that the Rey Mysterio would battle Seth Rollins in an eye-for-an-eye match on an upcoming pay-per-view event. Now, the website released the article to promote the match in the listing, and it confirmed, Katie George, the only way there could be a winner is if the wrestler pulls out the eye of an opponent. These are the rules.
An actual eye. They have to gouge out each other's eyes to win.
Are we thinking actual eye?
Here's the thing. I'm going to say something controversial. Isn't a lot of it fake?
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Whoa!
I mean, I know they do the stunts and stuff, and they're jumping off the ring, and they're smashing each other into tables, and
Wow. They
are hurting each other. Like, that stuff looks painful just purely based on impact. But I know there's, like, some acting that goes into it. So Wait. Are they going to have a fake eyeball and then, like, some makeup to black out what will now be, like, a hole in their eye, and then they'll, like, pull out, like, a fake eyeball, and then somebody wins? Like,
for
guys, come on.
You.
Costume makeup exists.
Billy, yes.
So I went to a wrestling show earlier this year, and I saw it was AEW, and I saw Chris Jericho punch someone in the eye, and he was holding like a spike in his hand, even though he hit him with his fist. And then they were acting as though the guy lost his eye, and I think for a little bit he was going around with an eye patch. So I think the lost eye has happened in wrestling before. I haven't followed up. I assume that he has his eye back now somehow. I don't know how they did that. But for a while, I think he was going around with an eye patch as though he had lost an eye.
Acting. I got to be honest with you. It's a hook that might make me watch a little wrestling. I'm just saying. Yes, Chris.
Now, I'm assuming that all these results are predetermined, but the actual viciousness of this is real. So I assume somebody's eye will really be taken out, but I'm imagining that board meeting where they're deciding the results and both wrestlers are looking across at each other like, I'm not losing this one. I'm not really losing my eye. And Rey Mysterio's like, neither am I. And then Vince McMahon has to make a decision on which one of these people is going to lose an eye.
You think it's a coin flip? You think it's a coin flip? I think, like, all right, Rey, Seth, we're flipping the coin.
Or is it a negotiation? Like, how much would you want in terms of monetary gain to lose your eye? And then we'll set up your surgery and we'll have them implant a new eye and attach it and you'll be fine. Like, is that something that happens?
$10 million right now, Katie George. If I said that I give you $10 million and you lose an eye, you taking the 10 mil or you keeping the eye?
No, I have pretty eyes. Hazel is a recessive gene.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable.
Are you kidding?
Instagram model Katie George back here on here. We will continue to discuss that. By the way, you'll find out why Billy hated me coming up. Because, again, after this SportsCenter update, we will have the historic open of the Dan Le Batard Show 10 years ago when LeBron made his decision. 10 years ago today. One Jim Gray, one LeBron James were up in a high school gym. Just talking sports, talking ball, doing guys things, right? Raising money for the Boys and Girls Club. And a decision was made. Peter Burns and Katie George here, right here on the Dan Le Batard Show. I'm lost because I'm so excited that we're going to play this this whole segment from Le Batard. What read do I have here? Do I have a fancy paid read? Yes, I do. ESPN Radio brought to you by Progressive Insurance. With insurance in cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Again, we had creative friction on this show earlier today when we decided we were going to play the four-minute rant when LeBron James decided that he was going to Miami for Dan Le Batard. We have decided collectively as a group that we are going to play the whole kit and caboodle, and it's beautiful. 10 years ago, LeBron James decided to go to Miami. And this is how Dan started his show.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, it's very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Woo! He won 66 games without Dwayne Wade! He's the best player in the world! But he might not be the best player on this team. Chris Bosh, you're the third best player on this team. New York, welcome to another decade of irrelevance. Cleveland's owner is a crazy person. Happy LeBronica. Give it to me again. Give it to me again. I'm not done. Give it to me again. Our half-full sports bar exploded in joy. Run the point night. One lucky fan gets to run the point every night for the Heat. It helps under the salary cap. The lucky fan gets to keep the jersey. New York, welcome to another decade of irrelevance. Stugatz, are you feeling it?
All up feeling it, Levitt.
Riley got everybody.
He got them all.
Discounted. Gangster. Pimp. Don. Godfather. He got them all. Everybody wanted one of them. He got them all. Discounted. Holla. Purple drank. A double rainbow. A double rainbow.
I want more.
Rock me. Give it to me again. Give it to me again. A two-time MVP in his prime. He's 20, believe it, 5 years old. I don't even know if he's the best player on this team.
Who cares?
Who cares? Our half-full sports bar, Stugatz. Did you see the way it erupted?
Oh, I did.
Seven people wearing Heat jerseys.
I counted 12 at the Ale House.
Oh, God.
Stugatz is up in New York. If you want to talk about this, feel free. This is the only happy sports city in the United States.
That is it, man.
Everybody.
This is the only one. They're miserable up here, man.
It's an unbelievable hatred that's getting spewed down here. And what an unbelievable decision this dude made. Think about what happened here, Stugatz, because he had the most to lose. You would agree that? You would agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he had the most to lose, no question.
And he was the most valuable player. So the most valuable player in free agency, not just the trophy holder, but the most valuable player in free agency with the most to lose chose to lose the most to win the most. You know what I mean? Like he chose to go from hero to goat with a sentence, Stugatz.
Dan, like, do you think he knew with that sentence that he would go from hero to goat? It seems to me, and that's the staggering part, I don't know if he realized how bad the reaction was going to be, not only in Cleveland, but across the country.
Yeah, probably not. Do you think it changes? Do you think if I give him like a crystal ball and allow him to see exactly what would happen? Do you think it changes how I think it changes how he does this. I'm not sure it changes him doing it. Do you?
If you handed him a crystal ball and he could see the reaction after his announcement, I have to think, Dan, if he's a human being, yes, he would absolutely. I think I got the H there as well. He would absolutely do it differently. I would think you would have to, wouldn't you?
He would do it differently because I think it was booed throughout the country the way that he did it. But do you think you're saying you think he would choose differently?
No, I think his decision would be the same. I think the way he delivers his decision would be completely different if he had a crystal ball to see the reaction before this entire thing played out. Absolutely. His decision would be the same, but the way he delivered that decision would be different, in my opinion.
Three friends choose to play together. Three friends. I mean, this is what's happened here. And one of the things that's interesting here, Stugatz, you know how much I like the players having the power.
Yep.
And one of the things that happens, and this is the downside, when the player has all the power, you get that ridiculous show last night. You know what I mean? When the player is in charge of everything and you will let the player have all the power, he messes up the way he did it last night. You know, Jim Gray was paid by LeBron James to do that, by the marketing company to do that. Like, the thing was an infomercial. It was terrible. It was awful. But that's the downside, Stugatz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The plus side is, and this is why I believe Spoelstra will remain the coach, these guys want to run it themselves. They don't want to be told 3-hour practices under a dictator coach who, you know, we don't need leadership. We don't need guidance of that sort. We'll just do it. We will do this ourselves. The three of us are going to do this, and Spoelstra will be the coach. Why? Because it doesn't matter.
But, Dan, you know Riley pretty well. Don't you think he wants a piece of this? Do you think he wants to be the coach of this particular team? And if he wants to be the coach of this team, will he be the coach of this team?
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So why'd you ask the question?
Well, I don't know. I'm a Heat season ticket holder now, though.
You're such a fraud.
I am.
Limited Fake Stephen A. Smith. You're on 790 The Ticket, Limited Fake Stephen A. Smith.
I told you.
Yes, you did.
He was right.
Limited Fake Pat Riley. After last night, you're on 790. Stugatz, one of the many funny things about this, and I don't. What is the funniest thing? What if you had to choose one? What is the funniest thing? It's probably Cleveland's owner going crazy, right?
Oh, that has to be it. Yeah, that was crazy. I loved it. It was honest. It was unprofessional, but it was honest and entertaining, and absolutely the funniest thing that resulted from all of this. He is unhinged and he is crazy.
We're gonna try and get him on at some point today. Apparently, the Cavs are interested in helping us do that. So. The crazed owner, Dan Gilbert of the Cleveland Cavs, wrote a letter. It was just totally poisonous, calling LeBron James all sorts of names. We're going to try and get him on at some point today. I don't blame him for being angry, but I don't think he would be angry. Like everything, all the things that happened that he was criticizing, the self-promotional tour, he would have been fine with if he had chosen Cleveland.
Yeah, but Dan, you get some of that, right? Like, it's we asked these guys to be honest. He was honest, although it was probably a bit over the line and unprofessional, but he was honest. And if it's true, if he's been trying to reach LeBron since the season ended via text and phone call, and LeBron is simply not returning the calls of the guy that has paid him millions upon millions of dollars. I know LeBron made him millions of dollars, but the guy has paid him millions upon millions of dollars and can't even get a simple response to a text or a voicemail. That has to be frustrating if you're Dan Gilbert. It has to be. Has to be. So he was honest last night. He was honest.
He was returning Riley's text.
That's true.
Let me ask you this question. Did Dan Gilbert screw a little bit of this up at the end? LeBron James would be taking perpetual heat by himself for 2, 3, 4 days if Gilbert had waited on this. But now, Gilbert took some of the attention away from it because people are talking about this completely unhinged, unprofessional owner being crazy. You know what I mean? Like, if you wait a couple of days, I guess that's probably a dumb question too, right? What difference does it make? He's going to take a bunch of garbage anyway, right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, he's definitely taking some of it off LeBron. How do you think LeBron feels today after seeing his jersey burned, after seeing people get arrested? How do you think LeBron feels today? It's a happy day for him today, or is he torn today? What do you think?
We'll talk about that next.
Unbelievable. Just listening to it in its 10 years ago, and the questions still remain on so many different ways. Katie, I want to get in. We're going to carry this over. I want to get into the Comic Sans letter. I want to get into what Sugats and Lebatard had to say. Just fantastic. Welcome back, Dan Lebatard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George. Remember, all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Easy for me to say. Joe Johnson, great NBA player, going to be playing the TBT. Going to be joining us here in a couple minutes. But remember, soccer is back on ESPN Plus. Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, more. Get those original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. You can stream soccer for the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN Plus. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Katie George, Sports Center Update. Let's roll.
Jimmy Johnson has tested negative twice for the coronavirus and has been cleared to race this Sunday at Kentucky Speedway. According to sources, the PGA of America is expected to announce today that the Ryder Cup will be pushed back to 2021 and the President's Cup will be pushed back to 2022. That is now confirmed. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. I had the Ryder Cup scoop, right? Had it. Should I have gone with it 2 days ago when I said that it was going to happen? Should I have done it?
You Katie Camlin'd it. You know, she had the information and deleted the tweet. You had the information. You could have scooped it, but you didn't.
I know, and I didn't. Unfortunate. Joining us right now on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, one of the greats in basketball, one of my favorite guys to ever watch because he did it so good. Joe Johnson joining us. You're going to be playing in the TBT in the tournament, the basketball tournament that's kicking off tomorrow. Joe, let's start there. How has this process been to get everybody on the same page about making sure that you're safe getting ready to play this tournament?
It's been a little interesting. The protocol before we even got here to Ohio, you know, you had to take a couple tests, you know, at home and then send them in. So it was a little bit of a struggle, but once we got here inside this little bubble, man, it's been great. You know, everything is handled very well, and they're just making it a great, safe environment.
How's the food? I saw the picture of the NBA players in the Orlando bubble, and they weren't too happy with it. I'm sure that that's going to get figured out. Like, what are you getting? Chef meals? You getting decent grubbed out there?
And we get it's a hit and miss. You know, it's like the first day I was here, like we had like some little sandwiches, but then like the next day. We had like a gourmet meal, like, you know, pasta, Parmesan chicken, you know, that type of deal. So it's kind of like a hit and miss.
Joe, you're playing as a member on Overseas Elite, and you're opening on July 9th against the Armored Athletes. Who are your teammates? Who can we expect to see when we turn on the television on ESPN when you guys get going?
All right. Just to kind of let you guys know, how I hooked up with Overseas Elite was my little brother, Jeremy Pargo, who played with them last year. He invited me to play with them, and obviously he took a deal overseas, so he's not here. So I came here not knowing none of these guys. You know what I mean? I did not. I have never worked out with them. I knew of them, but I didn't know them. I had never met them. So I got here. I got a chance to meet them. We still haven't worked out together as a team because, you know, everything is kind of crazy around here. So we're just trying to take the necessary procedures as far as keeping everybody safe, because if one guy tests positive, they kick the whole team out. So we're not even taking that chance. So we're going to wing it, and when we get out there on the floor tomorrow, we'll see how we put it together.
That's fascinating to me, because it seems as if, and Joe Johnson joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show, for the tournament, it's almost the hard work is making sure everyone's safe and staying in the quarantine versus actual rolling the ball out and getting it together. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Keeping everybody safe is probably the hardest part. And for us, Overseas Elite, you know, we got great veteran guard play and Bobby and Pooh. So, you know, I think that's a plus as well. You know what I mean? And then we got some great young talent who are very hungry and very willing to get out there and get started. So I'm looking forward to the challenges that's before us, man. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Joe, we were talking earlier in the show. Today is the anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of when LeBron James made the decision to go from Cleveland down to Miami, which led to two championships. Do you remember where you were? You were obviously in the league, but do you remember where you were the night that you watched or heard that LeBron was taking his talents to South Beach?
Yeah, I was back home in Little Rock, Arkansas, sitting and couldn't wait just like everybody else. Yeah, I mean, 10 years, man, it went by fast.
It's crazy, right? What was the reaction that you had? I mean, I can't even, you know, obviously text messages back and forth. I mean, was this like well-known secret that was happening? Or was this like everybody else like, holy hell, I don't know what he's going to do?
No, I think everybody kind of knew that he was leaving Cleveland. For him to do the decision, you had to be like, well, why would he be doing this big deal if he was going back to Cleveland, you know? So I kind of had a sense like, oh, man, he must be going somewhere. I don't know. And then you see D. Wade and Bosh on ESPN, and Bosh was like, good luck, LeBron. I'm like, all right. So, you know, I just kind of put some stuff together, but I think everybody kind of knew he was leaving Cleveland.
You're clearly in a bubble of sorts getting ready for the tournament that's going to be played there in Columbus, Ohio. What have you heard from maybe former teammates or friends that are in the NBA who have either gotten to Orlando for their campus situation or are heading to Orlando this week to gear up for the NBA restart?
I really haven't heard anything. I got one of my best friends, Gennaro Pargo, who's an assistant coach for Portland Trail Blazers. Me and him, we haven't talked the past few days, so I don't even know when they get down there. But to be in that bubble for a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, man, that's going to be tough. I mean, we're in Columbus in a bubble, but we only here for 10 days. You know what I mean? So this is a breeze compared to what those guys going to have to deal with.
Joe, if you put yourself in that situation, or do you think that there'll be guys at some point, and you astutely just pointed out, it's not 10 days, it's a month. You think guys at some point will get itchy at week two, week three, and just go, I'm out. I just can't do this anymore and walk away?
It may be a couple guys do that. I can't see, you know. I mean, once you commit to that, you know, it's going to be kind of tough to kind of get out of it. I mean, yes, you're going to have your challenges, but that's part of it. So, I don't know, man, but I'm interested to see how they're going to handle that.
There have been some people, Joe, that have said, you know, this championship, whoever's crowned, hopefully there is somebody crowned at the end of it, there's going to be an asterisk next to their name. Do you feel like that's right, or do you feel like maybe this is going to be the toughest championship ever to be won because of all the different factors that are going on outside of the bubble and within?
I wouldn't say an asterisk. I think because everybody's going to be dealing with the same thing. They all going to be pretty much in the same environment. And this is what we're dealing with right now. This is our new normal. So, you know, we have to play the cards we dealt. And those guys got to come out and compete. I know it's going to be a lot different, you know, without the fans in there. But, you know, you got guys, you know, you look at LeBron, who's what, 36, or about to be 36. like as bad as he, as hungry as he is probably for another title, you know, this is a great chance for the Lakers. Like, you know, I can only imagine how those guys feel.
Yeah, and Dwight Howard said he is going to be opting in and is going to be going down to Orlando to play. And, of course, J.R. Smith as well, too, with the Los Angeles Lakers. So my question is here. I'm the anchor for the SEC network, and I'll work here with Katie George, who works and runs basically the ACC network. Can you tell Katie that as good as Duke is, as good as North Carolina is, as good as Virginia is, nobody could have rolled up in Bud Walton Arena when you guys had it rolling? Like, they wouldn't have been ready for that type of environment, right?
Oh no, man. We used to mop teams coming in Bud Walton. That's a great atmosphere, great environment. And my college days were probably the best years of basketball for me. It taught me a lot. And playing in front of those fans, you know, I'm from Little Rock, so playing in front of those fans was awesome.
What was the hardest place to play in the league? Like, whenever you were playing, because you bounced around, obviously had an unbelievable career, and you went to a bunch of different places. What was the one place where you felt like it was more like going onto the road and going into Lexington and playing at Rupp or something like that?
Utah, Denver. Those high altitude, especially in Utah, because the fans there are fanatics. You know, the Jazz are mm-hmm. pretty much everything for them. They don't have another professional sport. So, The Jazz fans are amazing. I remember going in there playing, and man, that's a very hostile environment. And then you fighting against them and the altitude, like, that's tough.
What was the sleepiest place? The place that you had to get up yourself because you looked at it, you're like, this place is dead anyway.
The sleepiest place? I don't know, man. Probably, you know what? Probably when I first signed with Atlanta in 2005. It was bad when I first got there. It was bad. You know, we probably had about 400 or 500 people in the stands. It was bad. You had to create your own energy.
Bring your own juice, right? That's what they say. Bring your own juice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, man, you're going to be bringing it here. It is thetournament.com for more information. It's going to be on ESPN and ESPN2. Hey, just tell these young bucks to just give you the rock and just be like, just watch out of the way. Joe Johnson's about to go to work. Can you go third person on these young kids or what?
Man, listen, hey, I'm going to come out and compete at the highest level, have fun with it. And like I said, we got a great team, a mixture of vets and young guys. We just got to put it together.
That's awesome. Well, best of luck, Joe. We really appreciate the time.
See you, man.
Thank you, guys, man. Thank you.
There it is, Joe Johnson. I love how he goes out there and says, man, it was tough when I was with the Hawks. It was what's tougher, playing with the Atlanta Hawks back in 2005 with like 75 people in the stands or going to play this tournament tomorrow and not having to roll the ball out with your teammates? Like, what, Katie, are you, which one?
I mean, they haven't practiced together yet, is what he said. Like, they're just supposed to go play in a game tomorrow. This makes me intrigued to watch.
I'm actually, yes, this is the angle. This is not as good as the angle of the WWE wrestling match in which someone's going to lose an eye, but I'm actually a little bit more intrigued with this as well, too. Katie George, all right, let's end the segment. We got Advance Auto Parts. Let's roll.
Well, Advance Auto Parts has added another winner to their roster, Die Hard Batteries. That's right, Die Hard Batteries are now at Advance. And if you're a stat freak like me, you know that means Advance got a player with unrivaled reliability, durability, and power. Plus, you can get free testing and free installation with purchase, and you don't even need an appointment. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
Finally, some huge news that broke earlier today. It changes the way that we're going to think about coronavirus and actually getting sports back. We'll tell you what that is coming up next. Katie George, Peter Burns. This is the Dan Le Batard Show. Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. It is Peter Burns and Katie George in this week. Guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Derek Pomanski from LSU Football going to be joining us here in a couple minutes. Remember, UFC heads to Fight Island for a title fight, triple header, UFC 251. Don't want to miss it. UFC 251 exclusively available. ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV for more details. More details on a SportsCenter update. Here's Katie George.
Jimmy Johnson has tested negative twice for the coronavirus and has been cleared to race this Sunday at Kentucky Speedway. According to sources, the PGA of America is expected to announce today that the Ryder Cup will be pushed back to 2021 and the President's Cup will be pushed back to 2022. That has now been confirmed. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details for all the latest headlines and information. Tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George, joining us right now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. One of my favorite people from my favorite teams, Derek Primansky, a.k.a. kind of the chief of staff for LSU football. And here's the most important question that we're going to start with, and I don't know, they'll all disintegrate after this question. When you go to the supermarket, Derek, okay.
Doing this again.
Yes, we are, because Chris needs to be taught a lesson. When you go to the supermarket and you're done with your shopping cart, have you ever just left the cart in the middle of the parking lot?
Here's my take on this. People who don't return their grocery cart to the collection area are scum. You need to bring your cart back to where it comes from. It is just being a good civic partner. I've got to presume that if you can't do that, then you're not going to follow other rules. So bring it back to where it comes from.
Chris Cody, you would like to retort here?
It's just, this is just going to be, everyone's going to say the same thing. You're not, the way you set up that question, by the way, you're leading them to the path.
It is a little leading. It is a little leading. You should just end it. Yes, you should just end it with where do you leave it, not do you leave it in the middle?
I'm responding to this. I'm done responding to this.
Well, we want you to be done responding to it because it's a terrible answer. And, Derek, I appreciate that because yesterday I said people were scum of the earth, and he used the exact word, scum. So we are on the same page on this.
Thank you.
There you go, Katie.
Obviously, let's start with this, and not shopping carts. But how are you guys getting prepared right now? Is it a 24-hour by 24-hour look at the headlines, get ready for LSU football in the fall? Is it week to week? How is this team preparing to defend their title?
Well, what we've done internally here is that we understand we've got great leadership with Scott Woodward and Virge Osberry, and medically with Shelly Mullinex and Jack Marucci. So what we've done from following Coach O's lead, in May when we brought the staff back, we went, you know, we have it where as soon as you come in the morning, they take your temperature, everybody's masked. There's plenty of opportunities to get sanitized. So we were able to do that for a few weeks before the players came back. Since then, we've been able to take that information that we've kind of gathered there and made it a little bit more thorough for the players. And so what we're doing is we're preparing as though the season's going to happen. And then our leadership, who's involved in, you know, the top down and making sure that all the right decisions are made for player safety, player health, for the health of all of our support staff and coaching staff. And so they're going to make the right decisions on that. What we can do is all we can do, which is right now prepare as though the season's going to happen and then be able to adapt and adjust in the event that things were, you know, changed or, you know, shifted or whatever. But for right now, we're doing everything we can to make sure that if the season is played as scheduled, we're ready to go.
So there's all these protocols and parameters set up, right, when the athletes are in your facility and they're working out or when they start practicing here in a few weeks together. But there's obviously this concern of what happens when your athletes leave the facility and they go back to their dorms or their apartments or their homes and what they do with their friends or during their free time. What are the conversations like with the coaches, with their players right now of, hey, we need to be taking this seriously because what you do outside of football matters even more?
Yeah, certainly, Katie. To kind of take the information that we've been able to gather and educate our guys has been something that's been, you know, kind of at the forefront here. Coach O, and when we have our Zoom team meetings, he always makes sure that Shelly comes on and gives an update of what's happening and kind of relays again and again to let these guys know this is what we're doing right, this is what we have to get better at. And so there's always been an opportunity to educate and not, that's not just from the players' perspective. There's a lot of us on the staff here because truly nationwide, we're all dealing with the same issue here. And so when we talk to friends that are on different staffs across the country, or even guys that we know in the National Football League, we're all trying to, you know, whereas usually you're very parochial in terms of your information. You don't want to get outside of your building. With this, I think we're all working together for the greater good, and that's to make sure that we do everything as safe as possible for the players and to make sure that everybody is doing similar things. That way we can ensure that when we do get to the point in time when everyone feels comfortable that college football is going to be played, that we're able to come in and know that everyone across the board is doing that as well.
Derek Pomanski joining us from LSU football. Peter Burns and Katie George here on the Dan Levitard Show. You guys got really fancy rings, a couple of them yesterday, national championship rings. Who the hell designs these things? Walk me through this process of getting a championship ring.
Well, it's funny. So, you know, Peter, you've been someone who's been very close to our program. Last couple of years, you've come in and emceed our award ceremony. And that wasn't just because Tom Hart wasn't available either. You were
Thank
our
you.
First pick. No question
that.
About that. But what we were able to do is, you know, for the last couple of years, talk a little bit about, you know, what the ultimate goal would be. And Greg Stringfellow, who's our associate athletic director for athletic equipment, and Louis Bourgeois, who's our director of football equipment, the three of us got together and we talked with Coach O. And, you know, Coach O's, he's a very thorough guy. He's very detailed and planned. But he was very kind of general in this. And he says, look, guys, I just want to make sure we give the guys the best thing that we can. And so for us, when you win the Southeastern Conference Championship, you win the College Football Playoff Championship, and then you get a national championship ring, we were able to design three rings. And so that gave us a lot of options and flexibility in terms of saying, well, we don't have to cram everything into one ring. So we were able to do a lot of things. And for us, having a program like LSU football, where you have a lot of history and a lot of tradition, but you also have things that are kind of unique and specific to this 2019 season. So we were able to do that on those three rings. And it was a fun process. And certainly the highlight was last night for us to finally see the players get the rings because, you know, with the COVID shutdown, we weren't able to have the event that we would like to have around Pro Day and our spring game when all of our guys were going to be back in town. So we were able to make sure that we were as safe an environment as we could to get the guys together. We held it in our indoor. We had the chairs spaced out, you know, 4 yards apart. Everybody was masked up. The equipment staff put the boxes with the rings underneath each chair. And then when the time came, the player was able to reach under their chair and get their ring. So it was a really cool moment, and it was something very fun to be a part of.
Last question, do you actually draw this out? Is there like a ring designer dude that just sits there and goes, all right, here's what you're thinking, like a sketch artist, and they put it together? What's that process like?
Well, I talked about it a little bit on Off the Bench with Jordy and T-Bob this morning, that we had Greg and Lewis and myself for the last couple of years to talk about when we win a championship, this is what we wanted to look like. So we've had some, you know, I guess you'd say cocktail napkins with things scrambled on there, different ideas that we had. But you're right. Once you get to the point in time where you win the Southeastern Conference championship, you're playing for the national championship, it gets a little bit more specific. So, yeah, we worked with Jostens. They came in. They had one of their top designers work with us. And we made sure within the confines that we had within our budget, because there are limits to how much we can spend on these rings, we did everything we could to make it as nice as possible for these guys. And when we got a chance to show it to Coach O, he was very excited about it. And then since then, you know, we've been able to give it to our team, and they've been excited about it as well. It's been a unique situation for us dealing with all the COVID stuff. So for us to be able to kind of tie up the 2019 season right here at the end of this with the ring ceremony was pretty cool.
Katie, I've emceed their football awards back-to-back years. They are undefeated since I've taken the podium. So I imagine the ring.
Again,
I'll check the mail today, Katie, to see if my ring came in. Derek Pomanski, LSU football buddy. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks, Derek.
You got it. You guys take care.
About 10, 15 minutes away before we play and replay the greatest history in our greatest segment, I think, in the history of Sports Talk Radio. That was Dan Lebatard's epic rant 10 years ago, plus one day, after LeBron James made his decision. Yes. And by the way, Billy, we're playing the 4 minute. We're not playing the 10 minute rip. So you win this round, my friend. Peter Burns, Katie George here. Remember, all guests appear via the Dan Lebatard on the Dan Lebatard show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Bill Barnwell is going to be joining us here to talk a little NFL momentarily. But first, right now, Katie George, a SportsCenter update.
Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson has issued two separate statements, Peter, apologizing for an anti-Semitic post on his social media Monday. Jackson said he had no hatred toward the Jewish community and made a promise to do better. Jimmy Johnson has tested negative twice now for the coronavirus and has been cleared to race this Sunday at Kentucky Speedway after his positive test on Friday. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George, joining us right now on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, the host of the Bill Barnwell Show podcast, Mr. Bill Barnwell himself. And Bill, I wanted to have you on today because I thought no one did a better job of breaking down Patrick Mahomes making half a billy. At least that was the headline. But when you started diving into this deal with him and the Chiefs that was record-breaking, what ultimately does this deal look like and how is it going to change the league?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to make a lot of money. Like, let's leave that part aside. He's going to get rich one way or another. And I think he's going to make $500 million over the next 12 years. Just don't think it's going to be totally under this deal. It's really kind of two separate six-year contracts, six-year $180 million deal in that range, and then 6 years for the rest, which is about $320 million or so. So I think because of the structure of the deal, because of the way that the money is guaranteed, I think it's likely that after 6 years, the two sides go back to the table and say, hey, you know, he might be a bargain at that point, even though he's making $50 million a year. So I think they're going to go back and restructure, maybe add a year or two, you know, just kind of make it a different sort of contract. So I don't think he's going to be sitting here for 12 years on this contract, but he's going to make a ton of money, whether it's $500, $550, $600. He's going to be making more than $500 million over the next 12 years if he stays healthy. And I think, you know, I don't know what you guys think, but when I wrote about this contract, I started thinking, okay, well, is there anybody else in the NFL who could justify this sort of contract? And my answer was no. I don't think there's anybody else who could sit here and ask for this sort of deal who I'd feel good about handing the same sort of contract, which speaks to, you know, I think how little it might change the league in some ways, but also just how uniquely special Patrick Mahomes is.
Now, what about Lamar Jackson? If Lamar Jackson has the season like Patrick Mahomes, because remember, Patrick Mahomes had a great year. They end up not winning the Super Bowl, comes back, he wins it. If Lamar Jackson takes the Ravens to the Super Bowl and wins it, could we not see Lamar cash in on a deal like this?
I mean, if he wants it, you know, I think if that happens and he wants it, I don't see how the Ravens would say no. I couldn't fault them for giving him that contract. He's an incredible player. I think he's so smart with how he uses his body to keep himself healthy. He gets out of bounds. He doesn't take unnecessary hits, but he's still a running quarterback. He's still going to take more hits than, you know, Patrick Mahomes would, or Deshaun Watson would, or, you know, any of the guys who really, you know, are not running as frequently as Lamar does. And I think that's, you know, I think he's a great pocket passer. I think he can be that guy, you know, be an effective guy if he's not running as much as he does. But I think the offense he's in calls for him to do that. So, you know, would I be uncomfortable with the Ravens giving Lamar Jackson the same amount of money on a yearly basis? Not at all. I think they are. Yes, I would say it's totally fine. But would I want to guarantee him money 10 years from now? I'd be a little nervous. And I think that's nothing against Lamar Jackson. It's just, you know, the nature of being a running quarterback in the NFL is different than being Patrick Mahomes, who is, you know, a guy who occasionally runs, but is really more of a, you know, a passer.
Bill, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. Let's take this a step further. How does Mahomes' contract impact Dak Prescott and Watson moving forward?
I don't think it does that much because those guys both want shorter contracts. They really want a 3-year extension, maybe a 4-year deal. You know, maybe Dak will get a 5-year deal. It's hard to say, but they don't want a 10-year contract or a 12-year contract. So you look at the money Patrick Mahomes is making over the first 5 years of this deal. It's about $140 million, somewhere in the $28 million a year range, which Dak Prescott is going to get more than that. Dak Prescott was already expecting to get somewhere around $34 or $35 million a year. So you know, I don't think it's really going to end up being all that comparable because, you know, I don't think the Cowboys will sit here and say, hey, let's pay you less money because Patrick Mahomes took less money up front because he's getting so much guaranteed down the line. And from Dak's side, you know, he doesn't really have that desire to get the same sort of length of contract. So, you know, I think if anything, it sort of helped those teams because if Patrick Mahomes had taken a 3-year deal for a massive amount of money, that would have been a much more direct comparable than the deal he actually ended up getting.
Sure. So how does this affect Chris Jones and what he wants to accomplish in his deal?
Yeah, this is actually a really good thing for the Chiefs because they did not change the cap situation at all by signing this extension for the next 2 years. Patrick Mahomes has pretty much identical cap hits to what he would have had if they had not signed him to an extension in 2020 and 2021. So now, if the Chiefs want to get a Chris Jones deal done, they can do it. They can afford it on their cap over the next couple of years, depending on how they structure it. If they want to re-sign Travis Kelce, who's coming up for free agency, they can do that and get that done without having to worry about it impacting their cap. So because they were willing to guarantee so much money down the line, they were able to get pretty friendly terms over the next 3 years, really.
Bill Baumrill joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns and Katie George via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Cam Newton and the Patriots. We saw the video that came out, just said, how are they going to pick him over me? And then he started naming 14 different animals in the jungle and went off. You're a smart man. How's that work in Foxborough?
I think it works. I really do. I think it's funny because, to me, not only is he a replacement for Tom Brady, he's a replacement for Rob Gronkowski. And the reason why is that, for years, the Patriots offense worked upon succeeding where you wanted to try and stop them to fail. So when the Patriots came out with big sets, two running backs, two tight ends, they threw the ball because they had Rob Gronkowski, who was a wide receiver caliber talent at tight end. And when they came out with three or four wide receivers, spread you out, they ran the ball effectively because Rob Gronkowski is a beast of a blocking offensive lineman in a tight end body. Last year, they didn't have Gronk. That offense fell apart. They didn't have that ability. Now with Cam, they have a guy who can do that. If they want to spread you out with those 3-4 wideout sets, you come back with 6 defensive backs. Now you have Cam running in the box against a light box and a bunch of defensive backs. That's not good for the health of your defensive backs. And then you come out with 2 running backs, 2 tight ends. You bring out that big set to try and run the football. Now you have play-action opportunities. You have downfield passing opportunities. And Cam is a very effective play-action passer. So I think it's a great schematic fit, and I think that Cam is healthier than people are giving him credit for. I really believe that based on, you know, the typical healing rates of a Lisfranc injury or a shoulder surgery. I think he is going to be in good shape. I think the lacking training camp, lacking the preseason might hurt, but I think he's going to be a better option than a lot of people are giving him credit for.
And maybe better option than Jared Stidham, who was going to be or penciled in at first the starter, the former Auburn quarterback there for the Patriots. All right. Last question, the most important one here for our show that we've been debating in the commercial break today. Do you remember exactly where Bill Barnwell was at when Ray Allen hit the shot against the Spurs in Game 6 in 2013?
That's a good question. I think I was in Los Angeles doing some stuff for Grantland. I think I was watching it at a bar. I don't remember which bar it was in Los Angeles, but I'm pretty sure I can at least narrow down the city. And I didn't live in Los Angeles at the time, so I feel like, you know, knowing I was in a different place from where I live is probably the best I can do.
Now, do you remember where you were at specifically when 10 years ago today, LeBron James had the decision with Jim Gray?
Yes, I was in a very smelly beer-strewn apartment in the Boston suburbs, you know, probably tweeting about it to a very small population of Twitter followers before Twitter was really prominent, trying to figure out if it was going to leak before the decision happened, probably complaining that, you know, that ESPN was taking so long to get to the actual decision itself.
Sure.
In the decision story, because I was not an ESPN employee at the time. So I feel like I was, again, drinking, but in a different place this time.
You proved my point. I'm so excited, Katie, that was the right answer for Bill Barnwell. Because you were like, I kind of think I was here when that shot. But you remember how smelly the apartment was and that the fact that you were drinking alcoholic beverages, Katie George. That's what Bill Barnwell did when the decision went down.
He's just forgetting he was at a Chili's out in L.A. when he watched the Rams.
Yes. That was the case. Bill, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. It's going to be fascinating to see how the Chiefs use this to kind of restructure the rest of their team. The fact that they only added, what, $40,000 to the salary cap just feels like cheating. One of the reasons why they'll probably be the favorite to win it all again next year. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
There it is, Bill Barnwell joining Peter Burns and Katie George here. All right, a little live read. What do we got here, Katie George?
Advance Auto Parts, Peter, has added another winner to their roster, Die Hard Batteries. That's right, Die Hard Batteries are now at Advance. And if you're a stat freak like me, you know that means Advance got a player with unrivaled reliability, durability, and power. Plus, you can get free testing and free installation with purchase, and you don't even need an appointment. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
Bronx Bomber 79 is in here on Twitter, says, "Hey, Levitard Show, the substitutes are doing much better this week, especially how bad they started this week off. Thanks for correctly pronouncing asterisk.
You're welcome. Well. I corrected myself.
I knew that you would like that, Katie George. All right, coming up, I promise it, we're going to revisit it. 10 years ago today, LeBron James decided he was taking his talents to South Beach, and what it gave us was one of the greatest moments in sports talk history. Dan Levitard's epic rant a decade ago, next here on the Levitard Show. Wait, who was that with the strikeout call here on the Levitard Show? Was that you, Cody? Chris Cody.
Yep, that's me.
How can you
baseball umpire for like 4 years?
Really? Little league, minor league ball, like softball,
not
CYO?
T-ball.
What was
it? This was like kids like 11 and 12, just like rec league, home plate umpire.
Did you ever get ripped? How often did you get ripped like that?
A lot of parents didn't like, because I was very, I had a tight zone, let's say. And I wasn't given the edges. Just because your kid's 11 and you're playing rec ball, like, if it's not on the plate, it's the ball. Sorry.
Sorry, kid. Can't hit the strike zone. Play Fortnite a little bit harder. Chris Cody, right there. Scum, according to Katie George and Derek Pomanski of LSU Football. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Peter Burns, Katie George here. Katie, now time for a SportsCenter update. Hiya!
Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson has issued two separate statements at this point, apologizing for an anti-Semitic post on his social media Monday. Jackson said he had no hatred toward the Jewish community and made a promise to do better. After testing positive for COVID-19 last Friday, Jimmy Johnson has now tested negative twice for the coronavirus and has been cleared to race this Sunday at Kentucky Speedway. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know: your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. Follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. You said favorite stat. The only thing better than a stat is a good confession or a good person coming up and being secure enough that they change their mind, Katie. And I feel like we had that in a commercial break. Normally, we're not supposed to bring up business in a commercial break on air, but I feel in the Dan Levitard Show, it's only right. You want to tell everybody what happened and kind of shocking revelation in the commercial break?
Well, yeah, because Chris Cody has been so strong and unwavering on his stance that you are not a bad person, you are not a piece of scum on the underbelly of the earth if you leave your shopping cart wherever you please in a parking lot outside of your favorite supermarket or store. Chris does not return his shopping cart to the normal collection sites that are spread out across parking lots because he thinks that he's ensuring job security because it's someone's job to go out and collect those said carts. He yesterday was adamant that he was not in the wrong and that he was sticking to his guns.
He was dying on that hill.
And after numerous people have come on this show and discussed with us the importance of being a member of society and taking your cart back to the collection sites or just returning it to the actual store, Chris said something pretty enlightening in the commercial break. And I think that this just speaks to how people can have courage and guts to change their mind when they're educated and hear other people's stances on things. Chris, what did you say right before we came back from the commercial?
I said, and I want to preface it by saying, I will not be judging these people. All right. What I said was, is I am open to the possibility of possibly changing my stance and starting to change my strategy and return the carts after I'm done shopping. Now, having said that, one thing I will not be doing.
Are you Dan Snyder
people
at this point? I'm just trying to figure it kind of just like, well, we're open to possibilities of possibly changing.
He did this not like, have possibly and probably in his statement. He said, you know what? I think I'm going to start taking my cart back. That's what you said.
Okay.
You had a chance to rehab your image here, and now you're already crawfishing on this thing. Cody.
Look, I just don't, because there's people that have supported me, like the 6 or 7 people that tweeted me their support. I don't want to let those people down. So what I'm going to say is I'm not going to judge the people that continue to do that and leave their cart and keep the job security for the people whose job it is. And all right. But yes, the next time I go to the grocery store, I will return my cart and I will bring it all the way back just because I'm tired of being called scum. And that's really it. Because like I was just like, is it really that serious?
Yeah,
I'm just kind of like, you know, leaving my cart. So,
and this is what happens when you bully someone. So just, we're all clear, it does work if you bully someone into doing something that you want.
You strike me as a guy that probably doesn't clean up dog poop either. I feel like that's the whole... Like,
don't
I feel
open
like,
this can of worms. Do
what?
Not. I mean, we've got a good afternoon ahead of us.
Do we?
I don't want to know the answer to that question now that we've just got him to pivot from his original point.
Chris, are you a non-dog poop picker-upper truther? Is this true?
Does it make it any better if I only babysit my parents' dog on occasion? So I'm not like a full-time dog owner, but the once or twice every couple months that I have my dog at my house, when I take it out for a walk, do I sometimes bend over and do the fake pickup? Yes.
Yes, I do, Peter Burns.
Okay, maybe I do, but I'm not a full-time dog owner. I feel like that makes it a little better. I'm not sure why, but that's my stance.
So you're the guy.
The motion.
Oh, yeah.
It's right in front of you. Why don't you just finish the action?
Because it's stinky. What am I supposed to do with it?
Wait, walk
with this stinky bag?
So after the dog poops. By the way, ESPN Radio, Peter Burns, Katie George, sports eventually.
Don't say our names at this point. I don't want people to know.
They'll take that out on the podcast, trust me. Do you actually have a bag? Do you have like a poop bag for the dog? So you actually have the bag. You bend over, but you don't actually pick up said poop. So you're just...
I only do the bend over and the fake pickup if I see somebody, because I always look around and it's like, oh, there's a guy like 100 yards away. He might be looking at me and judging me. So I need to do the old bend over. If there's nobody around, I'll just kind of, you know, go about my day.
So you literally take the bag as a prop? Like the bag is your prop on your walks?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I'm triggered again. Like, I'm glad I took my sweatshirt off for this segment because, my gosh, I'm sweating again.
You can lead the horse to water. That's all I can say. And he was almost there. He was so close. And then you just go. You ran 26 miles of the marathon. The last two just fell flat on his face. Peter Burns.
He goes through the motions. He goes through the motions and just won't pick it up.
Runs. I mean, listen. Don't even get me started here. You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05. You can follow me on Twitter @PeterBurnsESPN.